Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Selbst mir deine Wege, deine Wahrheit schmale Stege, steh mit Kraft mir bei, dir zu wandeln treu. Weil du kommen bist, was verloren ist, wiederum zurückzuführen, kein Schäflein zu verlieren. Darum pfleg dein Knecht, führe mich zurecht. Gute Dreier hält, wenn ich bin verirrt. Schafer werde, führe mich zu deiner Herde, führe mich dahin, wo ich bei dir bin. Sollst zum Sterben gehen, wollst du bei mir stehen, mich durch Todestal geleiten und zur Herrlichkeit bereiten, dass ich niemals sehe, ein Zurechten stehen. Dass ich niemals sehe, ein Zurechten stehen.
Over the years, I've been studying the Bible on what happens to a person when he dies. And I have listened to different people on the internet and on TV. There are those who claim that a person, when he dies, goes asleep. He is soul sleeping until, I guess, judgment day, when God will wake everybody up. That is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us a very interesting way on what will take place. It tells us absence from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment a person dies, when he is a Christian, he is with God. And if he's not a Christian, once he passes from this life, he then ends up in a place which he chose on this earth, which could very well be hell or the lake of fire. When a person turns to God or turns to Jesus,
then his eternal home will be in the portals of glory. The Bible teaches us, those that believe in Jesus, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Meaning, if you only believe in him, you have a choice to accept his salvation. Just knowing about him, you have a choice to accept being for his for eternity. And for a person to not accept God or Jesus is total foolishness. And there's going to be a regret for eternity. I know there are God haters out there. They simply don't want nothing to do with God. But when I see religious people nonchalantly waltzing through this life, not even caring about their soul, that's another matter. That's total foolishness. The Bible Jesus called his disciples fools time and time again when they just could not accept what he was telling them. Well, today I will read and tell you and show you from the New Living Testament on what happens to us when we die. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of what's in store for us. I thank you for your grace and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the Bible on what takes place after life, you can read of the rich man that went to hell. He was totally aware of himself. He knew, he felt things. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. And he had concern for the people he left behind. And he also saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham in paradise. So he was able to see, he was able to feel, and he was able to comprehend. So there is no such a thing as a person sleeping after he dies. There is a place where he goes to. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." So it tells us once we take down, once this body is taken down, then we will receive a new house. And that'll be for eternity. We grow weary in our present bodies, but we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it is not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and that's a guarantee he has given us as Holy Spirit. So here is how it works. Once we leave this body, it'll be in a split second. We will be in the spirit realm. We'll see both the physical and the spirit realm. We'll be taken into heaven for those of us who are born again. And I have listened to different people who have had death experiences. They would leave their body and not even be aware of it. They would die in a hospital bed. And even while they're talking to their families, they would all of a sudden wonder why their families don't pay attention to them. And then they realize that their body is lying on the bed and they are in the spirit realm. So this has been written by so many people already. Whether this is really true or not, I don't know for sure. But not all people who experience this would be lying. That I have come to that conclusion. There are those who are definitely telling the truth because they are Christians and they know they did have an experience. Well, when will we get that new body? According to Scripture, it'll be at the resurrection. In the meantime, we will be aware of ourselves. We will be able to touch ourselves and feel ourselves, but it's still not the new body that Jesus wants to give us. That'll happen at the rapture of the church when the dead in Christ shall rise, the Bible teaches us. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. So when the dead in Christ, it seems they will come back to earth, receive a new body, and then we'll be taken up into the air where we will meet Jesus. So this is how it works. It's not soul sleep that a person enters into where he'll sleep till judgment day. No, he is aware of himself, even more aware that as when he is in the body. All of a sudden, your mind opens up to incredible revelations. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be no more suffering, no more pain, no more problems. You are going to be just like God meant you to be from the beginning, where we're going to have fellowship with God, talk with him, walk with him, and spend our eternity rejoicing in the things that he's going to show us. So we will leave this body. Once we do, then we are with God. It's not as bad as it looks from dying is not as bad as it looks like from our point of view, because we see the body lying there dead. That means the spirit is gone. It's not moving. It doesn't have any feeling. It slowly starts to decay, as we see when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Martha said to the Lord Jesus Christ, he stinks already. Why would you want to raise him up? And Lazarus came out of the grave. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 6, it tells us. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. See, these bodies separate us from God physically. We need to die to be with him in the spirit realm, where we'll get a new body. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. So it doesn't matter whether you're here or whether you're there. We want to please God. And I have been trying to teach on this program over the last 20 years or 18 years that this time here on earth is but a speck in eternity. We have maybe 80, 90 years to decide whether we want to be with God. When I look at the world system, I can see the utter foolishness of the whole situation. They're climbing over each other, they're stepping on one another, they're killing one another, they're doing everything to each other so that they can get ahead in this world, so that they can become rich. That is total, to my opinion, the most idiotic thing that a person can do. And then at the same time, they reject God. They don't want nothing to do with him. Something very interesting happened in America over the last couple of weeks. There's this guy who was a multi-millionaire, a billionaire, all the money in the world. He even had an island in the ocean for himself where he lived. And he would be making his money, a lot of his money, by trading money and also by selling young girls to rich people. He would make them available for rich people. And politicians would flock to him. It's going to be very interesting to watch the trials as they bring forth the information they had on who is involved with him in all this sex trade, this human trafficking that he was into. And then he was arrested. And they say that he committed suicide in his cell, even though there's some very strange things that went on when it happened. And I know for a fact that many rich politicians are involved in what he did. But when I look at the poor guy's situation, he lived a life of ease, and he came to be around 60 years old. I think it was 62. And then he had to leave this world. He didn't take nothing with him. All he took was his eternal soul. And now that has to be judged by God. At the judgment, if he didn't turn to Christ in the last moment of his life, the judgment could be very, very severe, where he will have to suffer for eternity. So this is the foolishness of the world. They trade the eternities of God's richness for a few short seconds on this planet, and thus they lose their salvation. When I look at the world system, I can see how incredibly foolish they are. But when I see the religious world, they offered themselves up to their religion. And they think they're honoring God, where in reality, they're honoring an idol. At least the world system can enjoy themselves with their money and with all the sin that they're into. But a religious person, he keeps himself. He tries to live for God in a way that he has chosen, not in a way that God has chosen. And thus, he will lose out on his salvation. That is so sad, thinking you're doing the right thing. Crucifying yourself through life, keeping laws, rules, and regulation, and religious ideologies, at the end losing out and losing your very soul. What an incredible situation that is. But you have a chance to turn that around. You can turn to Jesus for salvation. For the Lord is not willing that any perish. If you truly want to go to heaven, you can turn to Christ today. Forget the religion that you're in. I'm not saying that you should leave whatever you're into right now. You just turn to Christ. And after you turn to Christ, then God can lead you in a way that he wants you to go. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
In this world I walk alone, with no place to call my home, but there's one who holds my hand through rugged road. inside me then.
There is one thing that happens on this earth that is definite and for sure. When a person dies, he doesn't come back. And many, many people on this earth are very much afraid of dying. But for the Christian, it shouldn't be something that should be feared. Yes, we are all afraid of dying. That's unnatural. That's a natural instinct. But the Christian should have hope in himself that when he passes from this life, he's going to go into a better life. One of the most memorable things that happened in my life was when I was about 21 years old. A very close friend of mine got killed in an accident. And after the funeral, one of the elders of the church came up to me and told me that next time it could be my turn. I guess he tried to scare me into living a better lifestyle. That's the way it was in those days and maybe still is today. But there's one thing that I can say. He didn't have an answer for me. I wasn't only grieving, I was in shock that a friend so close to me was so quickly gone, and I, as far as I was concerned, I was never going to see again. And the person, I guess, who told me this was well-meaning, but the thing is, he had no answer for me. He left me wondering in my spirit where I was going to end up, and I'm telling you, that wasn't a very good feeling. So for those who are dying today, for those who are afraid of dying, I have an answer for you, an answer that couldn't be given to me when I was in such desperate need of it at a young age. And that answer is, in Christ, you don't have to fear death. I don't care what you were into, what religion you're into, how bad you are, or even how good you are. If you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have to be afraid of dying. You don't have to be afraid of leaving your body. For there will come a time when you will have a new body, which will never die, never get sick, never get old, never have any pain or any of those things, but will last for eternity. And the Bible teaches us there we will never part again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17, it tells us this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God chose that through Christ Jesus we're going to come back to him. And he has given us that ministry of reconciliation, meaning we're the ones that turn to Christ, are the ones that are supposed to tell everyone how to get back in the good graces of God. For it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. This is how it works. The sins that we committed, the sin nature that we have, is going to be washed away. And that is going to be done through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 20, it tells us this: now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Come to God, all of those who are listening. Come to God through Jesus Christ. For Jesus loves his creation. And then it tells us, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an awesome scripture here. He made Christ to take on our sin. He took our sin upon himself, who had no sin. He took our sin upon himself, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We become righteous, holy, and pure through Jesus Christ when we turn to him for salvation. So open your heart to these awesome and interesting scriptures, for we are fast running out of time. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.